Blog Talk Radio. With Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Yeah. And let's see. Well, if the usual, okay, I have to do a 5:30 show here at Eastern Standard Time because people who are at work would rather come on between 5:30 and 7:30. And that's okay. It's going to be all about food, Pittsburgh and food. That's what we're going to be talking about. Yes. Going to have, Alan Chen, the owner of Tamari Restaurant, which is a Japanese fusion restaurant. Carol Dearhart, they call her. She's going to talk all about cheese. She's from the Pennsylvania Macaroni Company. We got Andrew Twigg, who's the co-owner of Dozen to Bake Shop and Cupcakes in the Lawrenceville section of Pittsburgh. We'll also chat about with him about the gay sections or gay areas of Pittsburgh. And Gail Clean Smith, who's the co-owner of Pamela's Restaurant, one of many Pamela's restaurants. And their thing is flapjacks. Yes. We're going to talk about food. You know, we might as well get in my favorite sponsor.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yes, you can get that at brownies.com, and their latest is these brownies that are enrobed, these little small brownies. They're totally enrobed in chocolate, Belgian chocolate, and they have like candy cane crunchies on the top. So good. So let's see, as we're waiting for Alan Chen to call, let me take a peek and see, just in case, of his phone number that I should probably, I have one wonderful friend who, just in case people don't call, she'll call for me, so, right here, and I'll send it. Barb, I'm going to send it to your Aerojet, and so you'll have this information. Okay, yes, back to the show. Okay, so while we wait for Alan Chen, the owner of Tamari, to call, or remind him to call, it's music time. I might as well play a little music. I love music. Oh, before that, and I'll do this get to this next week, okay? I survived Hurricane Ida. I went on a sweet cruise last week We started. My last show that I did was from New Orleans, and I was just about to go on the cruise. I did that on the show Saturday night. Sunday, the cruise started. Sunday night, the hurricane began. And I'll talk about that next week. I'm going to do an entire show about this cruise. Lots to talk about. But in the meantime, I am going to... let's see. I just got a show reminder to do the show. That's nice. I always get the reminder, like, when I start the show. Isn't that interesting? Okay, back to this here. So, let's do a music. Well, it's just because I like this one, and because it's from Hair, it's doing so well, and it's one of my favorites, and here we go.
We starve at one another, short of breath, walking proudly in our winter coats, wearing smells from laboratories, facing a dying nation of moving paper fantasy, listening for the new total lies, with supreme visions of lonely tunes. Somewhere inside something there is a rush of greatness, who knows what stands in front of our lives. I fashion my future.
Spider-Man.
lot of sunshine out here. Certainly different from, I'll tell you one thing, going from that nice, like, hot weather down in the western Caribbean and then coming back up to New York can certainly do something on the body. So in case if I cough in the middle of everything, you'll all understand. Well, I called Alan Chen, and of course he goes, oh, am I forgotten you? And he says he's on his way down to his office, and he'll be calling you. So let me just kind of briefly, like, tell you. So the hurricane started, yes. The hurricane lasted for 24 hours on the boat. And the boat was not just going, you know, sideways, like back and forth, but up and down. And, like, I did my best to try to sleep. I couldn't sleep because when it went up and down, it went like smack, you know. So it's, can your back get whiplash? I'm not sure, but that's what it kind of felt like. I have always gotten seasick on boats. Except for the one I went to, the one that went up down the Mississippi River, which was the riverboat. The riverboat, I didn't get sick on the riverboat. I mean, you know, 7 miles an hour, you can't really do that. But believe it or not, I mean, this didn't bother me at all. And I think it could be because I experienced turbulence so many times on planes that this was just like turbulence in the ship. And now, poor, you know, I know what's going on because now Alan is like absolutely hunting for the freaking phone number to call me. Here we go again. Let's see. You know, it's a good thing. I have to tell you, All right, I got my cell phone here. Let's try calling him. Okay, where is that? Where's that phone number? Now he's going to say, I can't find your phone number. You'll say. Let's see. Here's the phone number. Let's see. Let's see what happens. Let's see if I can get him on the phone again. Hang on. Talk amongst yourselves. You know what I mean? His phone number is busy. He's probably trying to call me. Or is he calling the stage? Let's see what he's calling. Well, he's not calling here, and I'm not getting a phone here. So let's try again. This is so much fun. Isn't this a piss? Was it time? All right. You know, I'm so glad I have, let's go with my other sponsor. Okay.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room. I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue. Based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Yeah, JetBlue. Well, actually. Oh, wait a minute. Where's... All right. Well, I have to take a... I'll have to get Esther my rubber chicken. She's out there waiting for me. I almost forgot all about her. Okay. Well, we're going to try one more time. I'm going to call him. And in the meantime, let's put on, here's another one that I like. So what the heck, you know?
She may be the face I can't forget, a trace of pleasure or regret. Maybe my treasure or the price I have to pay. She may be the song the summer sings, maybe the chill the autumn brings, maybe 100 different things within the measure of a day. She may be the beauty or the beast, maybe the famine or the feast. May turn each day into a heaven or a hell. She may be the mirror of my dreams, a smile reflected in a stream. She may not be what she may seem inside her shell.
Combined ingredients and the cooking techniques from both cultures. Well, this is a pretty broad range. We incorporate all the Asian countries and a lot of the Latin countries and fuse them into one specific type of cuisine.
Oh. So, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. And so, as an idea, let's talk a little bit about the menu. For instance, now, let's deal with, I remember I did a lot of sushi. What did you do with sushi to make it to in that type of style, if you did?
Of course. Our menu is broken up into different sections. For sushi, now, we have your standard sushi bar. If you're looking for the nigiri, the sashimi, and the traditional maki rolls, we do have those available. Now, where we come into with the fusion as far as the sushi goes, you know, something like our signature roll, the tamari roll, which is white tuna, some crab, topped with a flame torch scallop, and then we add some chipotle mayo to it. So, you know, chipotle is smoked jalapeno, very traditionally found in, you know, Mexican cooking.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. Another part of our menu would have, like, ceviche, which is a very traditional Latin American dish that you will find all over the place. Every country almost has their specific version on it, whether it's Peru, whether it's Mexico. And then another part of the menu would be the Robata Grill, which is a very traditional Japanese way of cooking skewers.
Right, yes, because I had a couple of things with that. Now, when it comes, let's look at then with the, I guess, with the main dishes,
yes.
Howie, where you do the infusing of the Latin kind of things, don't you?
Most definitely. The fusion really comes through in our small plates and entrees. You know, a perfect example of that is summed up by the Peking duck quesadilla. Peking duck is a very traditional Chinese dish. You know, we serve it with the traditional accompaniment, which is the hoisin sauce. Now, we present it in a quesadilla form with some melted, Mexican cheeses, along with, some charred serrano chili peppers, and then serve it in the quesadilla form.
Yes. What else? What's some of the other ones that you do?
Let's say our lemongrass chicken spring rolls. You know, we do it with a coconut sambal sauce, which is a typically Southeast Asian, you know, sweet, spicy kind of sauce. We pair that with a jalapeno salsa. You know, so you get a nice little bit of a, you know, citrus in there with a lot of flavors, a lot of heat, a nice sweetness, and, you know, with the crunchy texture of the lemongrass chicken spring rolls. You know, that kind of sums up what we're all about here.
Yeah, now, I had one roll, and I wasn't sure exactly, because I was trying to describe it again. It was not on the menu. You had a lobster maki roll, but you did it. Can you explain that one so I remember it when I write this?
Of course. Now, the lobster tempura roll, which is actually not on the menu, it's a special feature that we do. We found it to be, you know, actually our best-selling roll. It has become immensely popular, almost has become our signature dish. So basically, we take a lobster tail and we cut it in half. The first half, we tempura batter it. We put it inside the roll with some cucumbers and avocado. And we top it off with a red and black caviar. The other half of the lobster tail, we tempura batter it, and we make sort of like popcorn lobster fritters with them, and we present it back into the lobster tail shell. So you get a duel of lobsters, if you will, lobster two ways.
Yes.
Yeah, my chef actually learned that dish. My chef is originally from Philadelphia, and he used to work for the Food Network's Iron Chef Morimoto.
Oh, really?
Iron Chef Morimoto, yeah, and that's where he actually learned that role.
Yeah, that was and then there was I totally forgot. I'm gonna drool if I start talking about food there. I mean, I have to say, I was not pleasantly surprised. Obviously, if they were taking us to places where I assume they already ate, you know, or
uh-huh.
knew. But this was like really one of the toppers, I got to tell you.
Well, thank you very much. I definitely do appreciate that.
And also, like, there was a really nice sake that you had.
Thank you.
I had the one that was like the one that was like cloudy, meaning that it's like not filtered. Yes.
Yes, it's unfiltered. It's called Nigori sake, and it typically has a nice sweetness to it. So that's my personal favorite style of sake.
Yes.
I like the hint of sweetness to it.
As an aside, you weren't there. You said you weren't there that night.
No, that night, actually, yeah, Tuesday is my usual day off. The gentleman you talked to was Tom. He's my bar manager and my assistant manager.
Okay, because I was commenting that I was in Folsom in California,
mm-hmm.
and this sake company, Geikakan, and they actually went to Folsom because of the water. So I was there, and I did a tasting of the sakes, and it was interesting. Of, I guess as they got a little sweeter, kind of, I actually prefer sake to wine now.
Well, that's great. I mean, the sake, there are so many nuances with it. There's so many different styles, and a common misconception about sake is that sake should be drank hot.
No.
Well, actually, you know, the higher quality sake should be drank chilled. And so, you know, so the best kind of sakes, the premium sakes, are always served chilled.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, and what they say is, you know, like the hot sakes, usually they take the lower quality sakes and they heat them up.
Yeah.
But if you're getting into the premium sakes, they should definitely be drank chilled.
Yeah. Well, that I had actually learned from Rocky Aoki, you know Rocky Aoki, the owner.
Aoki, Benihana.
Yes,
yeah.
He did a sake tasting that I attended, and he had a book out called like something with water, something. He had a book about the sake, so I got to learn. I also got him to come to. I deal with a women's football team.
Uh-huh.
And I got him to come and do the coin toss.
Wow, you know, I mean, that's he was definitely one of the pioneers of bringing Asian food to the masses, and you know, he was definitely a trailblazer. So
he was
definitely owe a lot to him, you know, paving the way for all of us.
Well, I understand. By the way, because you know this whole kind of. Sort of like, I guess, if you want to call stereotype joke of Jewish people eating Chinese food.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, right?
Of course. So, you know, actually, my father is in the restaurant industry,
mm-hmm.
and he owns and operates a number of Chinese, Japanese, and Thai restaurants in the Pittsburgh area. So I've grown up in the industry. And, you know, my first job was, you know, bussing tables and washing dishes at a Chinese restaurant.
Right.
And I managed one of his restaurants for a number of years. And, you know, Christmas Day is always any Chinese restaurant's busiest day of the year. It's, you know, Jewish tradition is the movies and then Chinese food.
Well, from what I understand of where it really comes from,
mm-hmm.
is, and this is what I had heard, that in the Lower East Side of New York,
mm-hmm.
when you know, and people were immigrating. Now that the Jews were here, and then the Chinese came, and that the Jewish people wanted to welcome the Chinese, and to welcome the Chinese, they said to have their food.
Mm-hmm.
That was the way of welcoming them, sharing their, you know, eating their food.
That's
where I hear that it all started. Although I have a feeling that they avoided the pork and the and shellfish.
Yeah,
though,
of course.
I think that's where
the
chicken
Jews and Chinese have a long history.
Yeah. I think that's where the traditional chicken chow mein came. But to get back to your restaurant, we had this absolutely wonderful dessert. It was a green tea layered cake, is that it?
Yes. So actually, you know, the restaurant is very fortunate to be located three doors down from one of the premier bakeries in the city. It's called Dozen Bakery. What they specialize in is cupcakes. That's you know, they now have five different locations throughout the city. And, you know, their whole thing is cupcakes, but they actually do some wonderful desserts. So when when we were planning this menu, I approached the owners, James and Andrew, and I said, you know what? I mean, this is a great way for two independent businesses to really promote each other and help each other out. And I said, I would love to feature some of your desserts on our menu. So we started talking and tossed around numerous ideas, you know, something that they would make special, especially for us, that would, you know, fit our flavor profile. And, you know, we came up with a number of desserts. You know, we had everything from a fortune cookie cupcake to, you know, a to what we see have on the menu now, a chocolate cinnamon cayenne port, and also the green tea, red bean, and fresh coconut buttercream cake.
Did they make all of those?
Yes, they did.
You know, I have to tell you something. I don't think you... Andrew's going to be on the show tonight.
Oh, excellent.
Yes. That's fun. When you started talking about that, I went, oh, what a coincidence. And Andrew's going to be on the show to talk.
Yeah. You know, and that's actually one of the wonderful things about being in the specific part of the city we are at, Lawrenceville Butler Street, because it is still a redeveloping neighborhood. But all the business owners, the great majority of the business owners down here are also residences of the neighborhood, myself
mm-hmm.
included. And we all have, you know, a vested interest to see this neighborhood do well, especially with the economy the way it is. The only way the independents can really survive is to support each other,
right?
You know, and that's what's such a great feeling, a great vibe, if you will, of being down here, because nobody sees anybody else as competition or a threat. We're all working together to make Lawrenceville a better neighborhood, and every
right.
single one of us offers something so unique, which is, you know, it's very hard to come by to find all independent businesses.
Yeah.
You know, with the way it is today.
Yeah. So, but before I want to get back a little more to describing some of the things in the menu, but before I do that, you have a website?
Yes, our website is tamaripgh.com.
Tamaripgh?
Yes.
Okay. What does that stand for?
Oh, PGH is it's shorthand for Pittsburgh.
Ah, okay.
Well, you can also find us at tamaripittsburgh.com as well. So.
Okay, I just want to make sure that got in there. So let's just quickly just get back. Is there any other particular thing on the menu you'd like to mention?
Yeah, you know, there's some that really still also captures, you know, what we're all about. Like our actually most popular dish is our Chilean sea bass. Actually, there is a cooking competition called Savor Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh that we had about a month ago, and we entered that dish into the competition, and we won fan favorites. So the Chilean sea bass is pan-seared Chilean sea bass over some sauteed watercress and some chipotle with potatoes, and we top that off with a smoked chili butter. So, again, that sort of, you see the fusion come in, where watercress is a very traditional Asian green, and chipotle, you know, again, is a very traditional Latin flavor. So, you know, we combine the two cultures again with that specific dish.
Yeah. Well, this is really fabulous. Tonight, again, aside from Dozen Bake Shop, we also have Pamela's, and we also have the Pennsylvania Macaroni Company calling in.
Oh, great!
Yeah, let's see who we got. Who's there right now?
This is Andrew from Dozen Bake Shop.
Look at that! We were just talking about you. We were just talking because Alan Chen was just talking about, we were getting into talking about the desserts, and he told me where they came from.
Exactly.
I went, what a coincidence!
Yeah, Alan's our neighbor about two doors down. So, yes, we do. Yeah, we definitely provide some of their desserts.
That's you know, what, because I had the that green tea layer cake.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
The green tea
layer cake is really popular. We also have a spicy chocolate tart that we do for them
that's
really popular.
That was, It was really interesting about that, about the chocolate one. One of the writers had that, and it was like, you get that, it's kind of like get that real good chocolate, and then suddenly in the back of your mouth, they went, boom!
It does sneak up on you, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Alan, I'm gonna let you go back to attending your restaurant. I know it,
thank you.
It's probably quite busy at the moment, yeah. I guess, huh?
But it was a definite pleasure. So I don't know if Andrew can hear me, but please.
Oh, sure,
you
can. You're all on at the same time.
Hey, how you doing, Andrew?
I'm doing all right. So have a good night.
All right, you do the same. It was a pleasure talking to you. You have a good night, all right?
Okay. Bye, thank Alan.
You.
Okay, so, Andrew, yeah.
Yes.
Tell us what this whole thing is about with the cupcake thing. What's this all about?
Well, you know, in particular with our bakery, Dozen Bake Shop, we moved to Pittsburgh in 2006, and at the time there weren't any cupcake bakeries. This is something that has been a trend nationally, and it was a little later to arrive in Pittsburgh than in some of the other larger metropolitan areas. But when we opened our shop in December of 2006, it was met with a great deal of enthusiasm, and that's now one of our flagship products. And even today, we still sell probably more cupcakes than anything else in our bakery.
Now, talk about, describe, the various cupcakes you have.
Sure. Well, we have a bunch of different cupcake flavors, and what we offer is a seasonally changing menu. We make two major revisions a year, once in the spring and summer, and then again once in the fall and winter. With other little changes that may happen in between, offering 20 to 25, 26 flavors at a time. Of course, we have vanilla and chocolate always, and we have those every day of the week. One of our more popular cupcakes is the Cosmopolitan. That's a cupcake that's a vanilla cake base with vodka and lime-soaked cranberries in the cake and the lime buttercream on top.
Oh.
That cupcake was actually recently listed in Forbes Traveler as one of the country's best. We have, of course, it's fall now, so we have things like a pumpkin cupcake. We do a pumpkin maple cupcake. We do a German chocolate cupcake, Black Forest, all kinds of flavors.
Now, but I heard about your buns.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
So you have the best buns.
Exactly. I wish I could say that was a personal thing. No, our bakery, we have a cinnamon roll that was named Best Cinnamon Roll in Pittsburgh by Pittsburgh Magazine. And we offer that cinnamon roll every day of the week. It's one of our big morning sellers. It's one of those things, it's definitely bigger than most of the cinnamon rolls you see elsewhere, and it is topped with the most delicious cream cheese frosting.
It's like a cream cheese frosting as opposed to
like a flat icing, like a glazed icing. Yeah, exactly.
So to compare it to like Cinnabon.
Right, so Cinnabon, they do like a glaze on top.
Right.
Or they sometimes have other kinds of frosting on theirs, but we definitely, it's real cream cheese. It's a fairly simple cream cheese frosting recipe, but very good. And it's quite the cinnamon roll.
So that's you think that's what really does it?
You know, it's funny because it does, although we also make a vegan option that's egg and dairy free that we sell on Sundays during brunch. And that cinnamon roll, I love both of them, but I also love the vegan cinnamon roll. And that, of course, can't have cream cheese. We do a royal-style flat icing on the top of that one. There's something about the dough as well in both versions. It's just a really wonderful cinnamon roll. Mm.
By the way, do you deliver? Do you have, catalog, or can people log on and say, send me cupcakes?
Well, we don't have any major online shopping. We can ship certain products, like our cookies and our bars and brownies. The cupcakes do not ship.
Okay.
And the cinnamon rolls are another one of those things. We basically don't ship anything that is either super fragile or has such a limited lifespan. And the cinnamon roll is one of those things we make fresh every day. By the time you would get it overnight, it just wouldn't be as good. So we want to keep the quality up.
That's a hint, by the way.
Exactly. And people can definitely go onto our website and look at our stuff, and there's a lot of stuff that can be ordered. We're trying to figure out ways to ship. We just haven't figured it out yet.
Okay, so you haven't shipped yet.
Not the cupcakes. Not the cupcakes,
I don't mean
the cinnamon rolls.
Your other things, though.
Yes. Yeah, we have. We've done cookies. We've done bars. We actually offer a couple of different gift packages and gift baskets, and we can ship a lot of those things.
Okay. After the show, I'll call you back and talk to you about this.
We'll get your order filled. Don't you worry.
What I want to get into, I mean, like, you're the co-owner. And so talk about, like, it's you and your life partner.
Yeah. So my partner, James, is the other owner. Mm-hmm. He's actually the food guy. I am not the food person. I'm not a cook. I'm not a baker. I'm not a chef. I do a lot of the graphic design work, the bookkeeping, helping out with the business. James really runs the day-to-day operation, and he's in charge of developing the recipes and, you know, really making the operation run.
Uh-huh.
So he's the one that you'll see baking occasionally overnight with some of the overnight bakers. You'll see him there during the day. He's there a lot.
So James is the one that's the cook. He's the one who came up with the recipes then for these cupcakes and everything else?
Yeah, when we first launched, he came up with all the recipes. And he does have a head baker and a couple of other bakers on staff who he now works with as we develop new flavors for the different menus. So he's not doing it by himself anymore, but he is, you know, intimately involved and, you know, really makes the ultimate decision what goes on the menu and what doesn't.
Now, where you are in Lawrenceville, because I understand you have more than one store in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Our first store was in the Squirrel Hill neighborhood. That was when we just sold cupcakes. And in January of 2008, we opened our second store in Lawrenceville. And then this summer opened up a store downtown, and we took over the operation of the cafe at the Warhol Museum. And just about a week and a half ago, we opened up our store on the south side.
So you mean when I was in the Warhol Museum, I could have had your cupcakes there too?
Could have had a cupcake there too, yes.
And I didn't even know. I was so busy looking at those damn pictures and artwork,
right?
That I didn't even realize that the cupcakes were there.
Well, we're a nice accessory there, but we're definitely not the main attraction.
You know, actually would have been funny, you know, I have to tell, if I would have known, oh, no, I wasn't allowed to take photos. But, oh, I bet I could have taken a photo. I would have taken a photo of the cupcake and put it on my blog site as saying, this is what I saw
mm-hmm.
at
In
the Andy
cap-
Warhol.
Yeah. Tiny pieces of art.
Yeah. Now, I want to get into a bit about Lawrenceville. I guess it's like it's up-and-coming area and gentrified. Is that the word?
Yeah, it's definitely a gentrifying area. You know, my grandfather actually had lived in Lawrenceville. He now no longer lives in the neighborhood. But I, growing up, would come to visit him in Lawrenceville. And as I grew older, the neighborhood definitely was taking a decline. Sometime in the very late 90s and even more recently, the neighborhood started to turn around, and we've really seen a lot of businesses like ourselves open up their doors. We've got small boutiques, restaurants like Tamari, you know, a lot of really wonderful places that have opened up in the past couple of years, and you see a lot of young people moving in, you know, young gay couples, young, you know, artists, a lot of college students, and you see them all, of course, mixing in with people who have been longtime residents of the neighborhood.
Yeah, because, like, you know, it should start to be like the light bulb joke, you know, how many gay guys does it take to gentrify a neighborhood?
it's a little bit like that. And, you know, it's funny because Pittsburgh does not, to my knowledge, have any sort of gay neighborhood like you find in some of the larger cities. But Lawrenceville is definitely an area that has a strong gay population. And like I said, a lot of young artists and students, and I think those are all populations that are like the harbinger of change when you're looking at gentrification. Those are the people who move in first.
Right.
And it's happening here for sure.
Well, I understand. Isn't there where there's a theater there? Small theater? Is that
There's a small theater just a few blocks from us called Gray Box Theater. That was theater that was opened just a few months prior to our opening in Lawrenceville.
Wow.
And then there are some other sort of longstanding bars that have been attractions for, you know, the music scene and sort of hipster hangouts and that kind of thing. Yeah, definitely.
So, and in terms of, just to get an idea, in terms of like, well, obviously Pennsylvania hasn't gone same-sex marriage, but in terms of like, how is it like being out in, you know, in Pittsburgh?
You know, it's good. I mean, it's pretty rare that we experience or hear of any sort of, you know, issues of discrimination. The city definitely is one that has a very mixed population. Pittsburgh, and I don't know the exact statistic, but has a very large elderly population. My understanding is per capita one of the largest outside of Florida, outside of cities in Florida. So there's a large contingency of people, you know, in their 60s or older who have lived here forever, and it's a very easy place to live, low cost of living. So, you know, I don't think they have the incentives to move elsewhere. And then you have sort of a sparse population of people in their 40s and 50s, although they're definitely here. And then you have a lot of people in their like lower 40s, 30s, and 20s, and a lot of younger professionals who maybe moved away for a couple of years after school and have started coming back. So that definitely affects the political landscape. It is a Democratic city. The state is a Democratic state, but it's definitely not the most progressive of all cities either.
Oh, okay.
There are a lot of progressive people, though, and there are a lot of great things happening. It's just when you look at the area, it's, you know, it's a blue city, but it's, you know, you've got a long history of a lot of different people, and, you know, people have been here for a long time, a lot of religious background, and, you know, things that definitely affect those issues.
Hmm. By the way, what is the down there, I think there's that statue, what is that?
The Doughboy.
Yeah, the Doughboy. The hell is that?
The Doughboy. What is it?
Is that thing?
I know, right? I should be more up on my history. I know that it's a statue in memorial of one of the wars. I should know this better, considering that our store is a couple of blocks from it.
Okay.
But it's definitely something that's honoring, you know, honoring our military. And Pittsburgh definitely has a history in the war. You know, Pittsburgh was really key in the Industrial Revolution, and you know, definitely one of those major metropolitan hubs.
It's whatever the hell the war was.
Exactly.
I know. I understand. I mean, like, you know, I'm like lousy with history too. You know, it's like some war. You know, French Indian or something, whatever. You know, who knows.
You know what? I just pulled it up on Wikipedia. It's a World War One.
World War One. Oh.
So yeah.
Well,
although
we both
it dates back apparently to the Mexican American War. So who knew?
Well, we both fucked up on that one, did we?
Yeah, exactly. Never good with the pop quizzes.
Yeah. Also, no. I just want to remember, just like, you know, with all the stuff I went to, was that street? Is some place that had kielbasa? Was that the same?
There's a place about a block, if even that, maybe half a block from our shop called Frankie's. Frankie's is a hot dog, sausage, kielbasa kind of shop that's been around, I don't know how long, but for a long time. It's one of those places that longtime Pittsburghers know. Pardon me. You know, if you would say Frankie's to somebody who's lived in the city for a while or lived in Lawrenceville all their life, they know exactly what you're talking about. It's one of those institutions, and they keep busy. you know, and I've had their hot dogs. They're good.
So in other words, you go to your place for buns and theirs for wieners, huh?
Exactly. And exactly. And then you can go get your fish at Tamari. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. This is what happens when I just came from going on an entire lesbian cruise in Western Caribbean.
You can't really help it right now, can you?
No, I can't. I mean, you know, a whole week of this. Yeah. But anyway, so do you plan on opening up any more stores?
You know, we don't really talk a whole lot on the record about our plans, just because we don't want to disappoint anybody if something doesn't work out. You know, it's always such a process to go to find a spot that's perfect in a location that we want, and to work out the details with the landlord and sign a lease and get the store open. I can tell you that we do have other plans to grow. In the city and in the region, but we definitely are taking it slow. Mm-hmm. We just opened our Southside store, like I said, about a week and a half ago, if it's even been that long. And we need to see how that does for a while, pace ourselves, get used to the new rhythm of things, and then we can look at the next stage. We do all our baking in our Lawrenceville shop. And so every time we add on, it's a bump tour operation that we really have to take a little bit of time to adjust to.
Oh, it's like Dunkin' Donuts. You know, no place is making the donuts at the store you're going to. You know,
right.
Yeah. So you're going to do Dunkin' cupcakes. You know.
Exactly.
So how long you two that you and James been together?
You know, it's funny, neither of us can ever remember. It's been around 7 years. It's not so long that we shouldn't be able to look back on a calendar and figure it out.
Yeah. Okay.
We normally think about how old, we have three dogs, we think about how old the middle one is because we got him a year after we met. And that helps to figure it out. But so I think it's around 7 years right now.
That's really funny that you say about with the dogs, because there was this whole thing while we're on the ship. And people were trying to figure out how long they've been together, and then, you know, one would say one. No, it's this. Then, no, I think it's this or whatever, you know. But that's a good way to tell of the animals.
Exactly.
But it's interesting. I think guys tend to have dogs and the women tend to have cats. Do you find that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, a lot of my lesbian friends in Pittsburgh, if they have pets, have dogs, but
they do.
You know,
okay.
That may just be the circle I run in.
Oh, okay. I got to tell you, so it was funny. I'm on one of the excursions, and they introduced. They said the bus driver's name is Mr. Butch,
uh-huh.
And they didn't know why we laughed. You know, we just kind of like let it go. But that wasn't as funny. I mean, like, talk about ending my trip. So I took Airtran and I'm checking in coming back in New Orleans, and I go up to the counter and I look on the guy's badge and it says Rodney Dykes, and I said,
geez.
Oh my God, I said, just wait until these people start checking in and looking at your badge. I think I'm just going to tell you what
what's coming,
you know, because I mean, it couldn't have been. It just couldn't have been funnier to see that. But one of the things. I mean, this idea, for instance, that you have have the cupcakes at like Andy Warhol's is it difficult getting into museums?
Well, you know, the restaurant, there was a restaurant group that had run the cafe prior to us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it just wasn't a good fit the way that they operate versus what the museum needed. You know, the Warhol is a very popular and well-known museum, but it's also not a huge museum. And so
right.
They needed somebody who could operate on a scale that was, in line with their scale. They had a really wonderful food there, but the problem was what they had required a full-time chef on hand and you know, one other person. The way that we do it, because everything is made in Lawrenceville, we do daily deliveries to each of our locations. And so this way we can deliver sandwiches fresh every day, deliver pastries fresh every day, whatever it is that we need to send over. And if the Warhol has a big crowd coming, if they have a big exhibition opening or they know it's the holidays, you know, and they're going to be busy, they let us know. But this allows us to operate on a scale that's more appropriate for them. The opportunity just came out of James being in touch with someone from the museum, Tom Sokolowski, who's the director.
Mm-hmm.
James had been talking to him about something else, and it was just one of those things where the timing was right. They had been in and tried some of our stuff, and we went through the bid process with a couple of other businesses, and they liked our proposal the best. So that's how we're there.
Oh. I went to the mattress factory.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure they have a little cafe. Yeah.
And they're similar to the Warhol in terms of their visitorship, I would imagine. I don't really know what the metrics are, but they're a similar size museum and they would draw a similar crowd. Their cafe I think is open Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure it's not open every day of the week that the museum is open, whereas we keep our shop open, you know, 6 days out of the week, except for Mondays when the Warhol is closed.
Oh, okay. Because it occurred to me that might be a place to have the cupcakes as well.
Well, one museum at a time, right?
Yes, one museum at a time. Wait till I start calling all the museums I went to and say, wait, where's the cupcakes? I went there and I couldn't find the cupcakes. You'll have to have the cupcakes.
Right.
You know, I'm going to write it in the article that, you know, don't go back unless you have the cupcakes. Or at least your buns, anyway.
Right.
yeah. So, okay, so right now, so you're like, so you have like the three places and now... it's like calming down, so to speak, as you start to develop, like, where it's going to go from there, huh?
Right. So we actually, with the South Side, that makes it five stores, including the Warhol. And we are at a point now where, you know, we're definitely planning our next step, but we are very careful about what we do. You know, the economy definitely is not the same as it was 2 years ago. And so even though we feel pretty confident about our ability to grow, we want to be very careful to do so in a very planned way so that we don't hurt ourselves. You know, we're still a young business, and James and I think, definitely have a good grasp on what it takes to run the business. But we want to be careful to not make any mistake
right.
that would cause our company to, you know, undo itself. So we work really hard at that, and we're careful about our planning and very, I think, deliberate in that respect.
Okay. So is there a website we can go visit?
Sure. We have two websites. We have dozencupcakes.com. That's the website that lists a lot of our cupcake flavors and tells you about that particular part of our business. And then we have dozenbakeshop.com. Dozenbakeshop.com is really the main website, and that'll tell you about all the things that we do. Including lunch, you know, breakfast. We have brunch on Sundays at our Lawrenceville shop, catering, gift baskets. We're doing stuff for the holidays. So that's really the website to visit. That's dozenbakeshop.com.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna let you go. I see we got. Let's. I think we got. As if I'm not talking enough about sweets. I got. Because I have a feeling I got. I got Gail calling in now, right? Is that Gail? Are you there?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so Gail's going to be talking about Pamela's. So we're going to be talking more sweet stuff, aren't
Cinnamon
we?
Buns, cupcakes, pancakes. And I'll tell you, Pamela's is a Pittsburgh institution that is like no other. If you want a good pancake, that's the place to go.
Hey, that's my line. Thank you very much.
I'll let you say it again.
Hey,
I can tell you
pancake.
Actually, Gail, when I had breakfast the week of the G20 at your Millvale location, I was surprised to walk in and find a certain Obama having pancakes. So I'll let you talk
me?
A little
Were
more
you
about
there?
That.
That is
I
fantastic.
Was there. It was. I never get excited or crazy about celebrities. I have to say that was an experience
was
I will never forget.
Thank you.
Okay, Andrew, I'm going to call you as soon as the show's over.
Okay.
All right.
Have a good night, Merle.
Okay, thanks
Bye.
For calling.
Thanks.
Bye. Wow, yes. So now we're going from cupcakes to more sweets. That's okay. I'm going to have a sugar shock here just talking.
Not necessarily. I can give you savory as well.
Yeah. Well, first we want to get into this whole thing. Now, that Pamela's is not like a one-store thing, just the way, I guess, the expansion of the cupcake place either.
Right.
But,
I caught the tail end of what he was saying, and it sounds to me that we developed a lot the same way, except over a much longer period of time, because I think that we're much older than Andrew and Jay.
Oh, sure. But Pamela's now the first location was where?
It was in an area of Pittsburgh called Squirrel Hill.
Okay.
On Forbes Avenue, a shopping district in the east and not far from Shadyside.
Okay. So in other words, actually, I remember he said there's a cupcake place in Squirrel Hill too.
Yeah, I think it's right around the corner on Murray Avenue from us. So.
But,
Small independent, a lot of small independent businesses still in the East End.
Now each of the Pamela's have separate owners. Is that correct? It's like a franchise. Is that the way it works?
No. Pam and I, Pam Cohen and myself, have been the two owners from the very beginning. And
you're the big kahunas in this entire thing.
Big word.
So in other words, her name ain't Pamela just because it happens to be coincidental.
No, you got it. But now, Pamela is the big kahuna. She's the inventor of the pancake, but in all honesty, I'm the eater of the big pancake. So that makes us 50-50 partners.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So how did you two decide to do this? So how did this come up?
Well, we were friends. We were golfers together in our early 20s, and we used to have a crowd that went out to eat after golf, and breakfast was one of the things we enjoyed the most. And we had an opportunity to take over a small hamburger and hot dog joint that Pam's father owned in Squirrel Hill, and he was looking to sell it, and Pam suggested to me, we were both teachers, that we take the shot, and we did, and it's never been looking back.
Wow.
And, yeah, that was 1980.
And is this when you say that, I mean, do you mean that, then you've all decided, let's branch, let's get these places?
My goodness, Merle, it was 1980, and we were both in our 20s, and we couldn't find anybody to lend us the money. They wanted us to have our parents co-sign for the loan. We were two young women, and we eventually found a young female banker that was willing to extend credit to us, and things moved a lot slower then. So we purchased the one on time, and we paid it off. And then we purchased the next one, and we paid it off. And then there was another existing business in Oakland, and it took us a long time to pay that off. And that's how we've progressed. And we do have a location in Oakland, which is the university area in Pittsburgh, that is actually being purchased and owned and operated by two of our former employees that were long-term employees with us, Michelle Mazzella and Tim Blossett.
Uh-huh.
And it was our pleasure to give them the opportunity to go out on their own. We're still all part of it. They're not paying any kind of franchise fees or anything like that, but we're all still one big happy family.
Now, who came up with this I mean, the whole thing that the centers around is the flapjack that you got out there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Who came up with the recipe?
Well, as I said, Pam is a fabulous cook, and
she's the one who.
Yeah, she's the one. And as a kid growing up, I would never eat a pancake that was thicker than a piece of paper. And I would talk about this, and she would practice and throw things together. And eventually, one day, just playing around, she came up with this. And it became, for us, an overnight success. From two young women that had been in a classroom to two young women that are now selling pancakes for 99 cents.
And
I just kept moving on and on. Every day we go to work, and every day we'd sell more pancakes.
So for the listeners, describe what the pancake, how could you describe the pancake then?
The pancakes look like a plate-sized crepe with the dark brown, a thinness of a crepe, maybe a little bit thicker, but a dark brown pancake color with crispy edges, a little thicker in the middle, and you could eat them rolled up, you could eat them with toppings, or you can eat them just plain. And some people eat them with syrup. Some people eat them with lemon and powdered sugar. My personal favorite is our fresh strawberries with a little bit of sour cream and brown sugar rolls.
Have all these specialty.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, they're specialties. And it's sort of been something that we've stuck with, you know, all these years. It's been the pancakes and the home fries and which are real potatoes. Nothing is pre-cut or pre-made. Or
right.
Everything is done.
So they're not leftover.
Oh no, 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 no. No.
That's what I got. Yes, that's what I would catch. Is like, what are home fries? And it's like, you know, the diners or whatever. It was like the leftover potatoes.
Like corned beef hash would have been.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. Just a mishmash of stuff.
Yeah.
That's another thing that we have is this corned beef hash that we actually get in these beautiful cooked briskets from one of the great brisket makers in our city, and make that with our fresh potatoes, but grind it by hand and put it together according to our specifications. But it's not leftovers.
Right.
it's made with intention.
I didn't get to taste that. I'm so busy tasting everything.
We should have sent some of that over. I was never the biggest hash eater, but it's pretty good. Pretty darn good.
Well, I think someone near me had it, and they, you know, I heard yummies coming out of their mouth.
Good.
So that's a good sign. Let's first describe all the specialty pancakes that you do, because I want to get into something in particular that I thought was
I said we have the strawberry that are rolled with the brown sugar, folded like a little packet with a light layer of sour cream that melts with the brown sugar that melts, and then fresh strawberries and topped with a bit of whipped cream. And we also have a chocolate chip banana where the chocolate chips melt into the hotcake, and sliced fresh bananas with whipped cream down the middle. And we have a banana walnut for the healthier eater, which the walnuts are in the pancake, then the banana wrapped. And, I know we must have some others that are just eluding me at this. Oh, I know. We have blueberry pancakes. Done either with blueberries, fresh blueberries cooked in, or the same way as the strawberry with the sour cream and the brown sugar.
It's sour cream that you're using, and not like whipped cream.
Strawberry
inside.
And the blueberry,
yeah,
it's sour cream, just a thin layer,
right,
to create that, and then brown sugar that has melted in with it,
right,
because the pancakes are hot. And it creates this little bit of a, like a creme brulee topping almost.
Sure. Because what I had the, I guess there's a combination special. You get like two eggs
and
bacon.
We call that the morning after.
Oh, okay. Now, what was that? And then,
and
yeah,
oh, it's two hotcakes,
right,
which are more than enough, really. A regular order has three, but two hotcakes, eggs, and any type of either the hand-carved ham or sausage or bacon that you might like to go with that.
Okay, and that cost, what was that? It was like,
it was $5.95 maybe, or $6.95.
Yeah, $5.95. Yeah, because I remember something about, you know, for $2 extra you can get the specialty pancakes.
Right, you can add those and change them into the specialty pancakes.
I said, wow, that's some breakfast.
Yeah, that's probably our best seller is the upgrade on the morning after, which is everybody gets a little bit of everything.
So now let's, just so people understand that it's, you know, that in case you don't want to have sugar shock. Oh, I wanted to ask you, in terms of maple syrup, I've always asked, is that real maple syrup?
What we use is a percentage of real maple syrup.
Oh, okay.
And it's more of a blend.
Okay.
But we have the option, if you'd like, we can get the small containers and we warm those and heat those for an upcharge if somebody wants.
Really? Oh, I didn't
yeah.
even know that. Then I would have just gotten the plain pancakes with that.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Now, let's also talk about, I mean, like, obviously, like, there's more to the menu than just.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us about what else is on the menu.
Well, we do specialize in breakfast. We have a special chorizo sausage ground for us by one of our purveyors in the city that we make chorizo patties. And omelets, our Tex-Mex omelet, which is, they call it a three-egg omelet, but it probably is more like a five-egg omelet. And it has cheddar cheese and salsa and the chorizo inside. And then it's topped with a swirl, an artistic swirl of sour cream with guacamole.
Wow.
On top of that. And that's another favorite. There.
Are you only open for breakfast?
Breakfast and lunch. And lunch, we do all the standards, but we also have things like we roast pork butts and pull our own pulled pork and a barbecue sauce with that. Make our own coleslaw, top that with the pork with the coleslaw. We have a really nice Cuban sandwich that is pretty authentic. Obviously, we have the roast pork for other things, and we have nice hand-carved ham and all the other fixings that go on top of that, and then that's grilled until that all blends together. And we have burgers, and each restaurant has some things that are just specific to that neighborhood.
Right.
You know, and the restaurant that Mrs. Obama came to, it's
As we hinted that before.
Yes.
Well, I understand that you were telling me that People Magazine, is that it?
As a matter of fact, yes. Today there's at the back of the new magazine, and it happens to be the Sexiest Man People Magazine. There's one of the great ideas section of what to do with your pancakes. From Michelle Obama's favorite pancake restaurant, which happens to be, this is what they wrote, Presidential Pancakes, which happens to be us.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And they visited us during the primary, and we met them both.
Oh.
And then the president invited Pam and myself to come down on Memorial Day. He had a pancake breakfast for the families of fallen veterans, and he asked us to be the pancake makers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that not cool?
That was really, really, well, that was life-altering for us. It was absolutely amazing.
I would imagine you got people, like, flocking in your places then.
Unbelievable. So, yes. And then during the G20, she comes to our other restaurant, and at the same time, I mean, this is all freakishly wild that this has happened to us. The prime minister of Japan wanted the pancakes because the president loved the pancakes, the new prime minister of Japan.
Uh-huh.
So he comes. He sends his entourage down with the limo
during the
G20. And we send out these pancakes, and during the president's closing remarks of the G20, he says, I don't know how President Harari Macho got to have the pancakes and I didn't, but I mean, it's just been unbelievable for us. Unbelievable.
But that's great. It's, well, for me, I find that I'm an empowered female, and I do my best to empower other females.
Absolutely.
I see, you know, females that are empowered, it looks good. Especially, you know, businesses that grow like this, and that women are running it, you know, and it's working well and getting
out. Women are running it, absolutely, and we continue to grow because of all the strong people that we work with. And I have to say, we really do have some very powerful women managers. And as I said, we had sold to one of our prior employees, who was absolutely the best female manager, any kind of manager that you could imagine.
Uh-huh.
And now we have another young woman that is our general manager, and we're still continuing expansion.
Okay.
Even at our age, because of all the trusted and well-trained people that we have that need room to grow.
Sure.
Because, you know, as far as Pam and I are concerned, this is probably the apex of our career, was making pancakes in the White House. What more could there be for us?
Yeah, I'm also, aside from everything else, I'm sure I must have told you about the women's tackle football team.
Did you meet them?
No, I'm the director of public relations for the New York Sharks.
Oh no, well, the Pittsburgh team,
you guys have the Pittsburgh Passion.
Yeah, we love those women.
Oh, and I gotta tell you, the last game of this past season that we had, and we had it here, I have never experienced a game between two teams the way this one went. We didn't know what was going to happen. Pittsburgh won by 1 point. And it was an amazing, absolutely amazing game of the running, the maneuvering, and the things.
Yeah.
And I mean, it went into overtime. It was, you know, really something else. And
I
also, I'm also on the board of a foundation called Fins Up, which supports female athletes.
Yes.
So, you know, it's got to empower. Got to,
yes,
really,
absolutely,
the way to do
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And thank God for Title IX.
Yeah. Well, it's still not enough. I mean, we're watching.
It's not enough,
know,
but it's,
yeah,
was the,
it's helping.
The start. Yeah.
Yeah. It's helping. We're still not, I mean, I think Pittsburgh might have gotten a little move in terms of being on TV, but basically, you know, it's like, as I say, boys fart and it's on ESPN. You know,
absolutely.
And it's true. You know,
absolutely.
But you think, I mean, I've been watching, I've been with the New York Sharks since 2002, and I keep liking, I don't understand why, you know, what's it going to take for it to be on TV, you know, and stuff. But, well, one thing that's actually going to happen, by the way, is that next year the league, which I guess Pittsburgh will be part of going into this, is actually going to be in a international tackle football tournament in Sweden next year. So
It's international. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's
so
fantastic. I wish that my body parts were all still in one piece.
Yeah.
Because back in the day I had quite an arm.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Oh, so you would have done quarterbacking, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Either that, or I would have been a darn good wide receiver. Here's a funny story, Merle. Growing up, my next-door neighbor was a boy a year younger than me named Ricky DeBagno, and I would train him for the punt, pass, and kick contests.
Uh-huh.
in the city of Jeanette, where I grew up. And Ricky was really, really very good. Not quite as good as me, but he was really good. And he won every year.
Yeah, so, well,
you know, we had no opportunities.
I know. Well, it's actually come to, and again, this is just, Andrew Douglas, who's the owner of the, she's the owner of the New York Sharks, is actually mm-hmm. the person who's making all the strides. And
yes.
For instance, like, we are the only team that's been holding a junior player development program to let young girls between the ages of 13 and 17 learn how to play mm-hmm. football. Because you don't have feeder systems.
No, not none. Yeah. Nothing. Nothing
you know,
at
so,
all.
That's
exciting, and we do love our passion here in Pittsburgh.
Oh, good.
And the girls eat at our strip restaurant.
Do they?
Yes, they do.
That's cool. Next time when I see them, I'll
please
I'll
do. Actually,
yeah.
I think when they played their first game,
yeah.
we may have fed them before it. And this was, I guess, when we first, 3 or 4 years ago, and they gave us tickets to their first game. I think we were the maybe their first fans.
Oh, that's funny. How yeah. great.
Yeah.
And it's something else watching them, isn't it?
Amazing. I'm absolutely amazing.
It is. It is.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know.
They're phenomenal.
I know. When I first saw this, the New York Sharks playing, you know, like, I didn't know what to expect. I'd never seen women playing football before. And my reaction was, oh, my God, they kick ass.
Yeah, they do.
You know?
Yeah, they
do.
And they are fast.
Yes. It is something else to say. But anyway, what's a website that people can go to?
We have one that's called www.pamelasdiners.com.
Okay.
And I know there's another one, but I can't remember it. But on there, it has some pretty cool things. It lists the different locations, which all have sort of an odd theme to them. You were sort of in our... I'd say our sort of 60s, 70s location with the checkered floor.
Uh-huh.
But our strip location is sort of the Elvis with the turquoise, and
uh-huh.
Millville is brown with the 40s, and we have disco in Squirrel Hill with a ball and all kinds of hand-painted people on the walls. And Oakland has the 70s and the rock and roll. So they're fun. And
yeah.
they're not as you saw, it's not slick.
Yeah.
It's not slick. What it is just the times that we lived in and what we take away from it.
And just for people, if you're going to the one
Walnut Street and Shadyside, yes.
Yeah, Shadyside. You just about actually you only see an awning, really.
You see an awning, right. And in the window is, you see an awning that says Pamela's Along the Edge. And we also own a Peruvian restaurant upstairs with an
Oh, that's
Peruvian
yours, too.
Yes, yes.
You know, I got to tell you, funny, I'm saying to myself, what a shame. These people had to take a place there, and there's these owners, whatever they are, this Peruvian place, and they really show you. I didn't realize
no.
you guys own that.
Yeah, we do. And with a friend of ours who's from Peru that actually owned a shop in London and then settled over here in Pittsburgh years later. But, yeah, and it's amazing. It's called La Feria, which is the fair
mm-hmm.
in Spanish, or the market. And
yeah,
all
had I known, by the way, I would have like gone up there and sampled something.
I actually asked Kristen to
yeah.
do that. So we just miscommunicated, lost it a little bit right there.
Okay. And next time when I come back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. And you know, Jake Gyllenhaal has been hanging out there. He's filming here, so you can see him and Reese Witherspoon up there very often.
Really? Oh,
absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, because I know I'll be back in Pittsburgh next year because I still have a lot to cover. Different. I'd like to do another thing on Pittsburgh. That's in terms of like the culture. Now that
yes.
I you know ate my way through Pittsburgh, I want to
yes.
do something regarding you know the theater and culture and stuff
I,
like that.
I think
that.
That's always surprising that exists in Pittsburgh, but it really does.
Yeah. I just thought of a line. Pittsburgh, it will steal your heart away.
It will steal, S-T-E-E-L, absolutely.
Steal your heart away. Okay. Anyway, well, I'm so glad you called it. By the way, you don't have any delivery service, do you? Like catalog or whatever. I can't go online and I doubt that you sell your pancake mix, huh?
No, we don't, and they don't travel well, but you never know. We're always looking for new locations. So you're in New York, right?
Yes.
So there you have it.
Okay. Well, if you ever decide you're going to, you know, venture to New York, let me know.
Well, Merle, I've got your number now, and I'll have
I
it
I think
forever.
Everybody's got my number, but that's...
That's
just...
right. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I thank you really so much. I've gotten to, I don't know if you saw that I, you know, got everything on my blog already, my Blogspot site. You know,
give me your blog, how to get to your blog?
Actually, if you go to the Blogspot site is, I gave you my card? Do you have my card?
No. No.
Oh, okay. Well, let me give you, the Blogspot site is www. And it's Merle's World, which is MERLESWHIRLS dot blogspot, BLOGSPOT,
okay.
.com.
Okay.
So
I'll be there tonight.
If you go to that and just like, I've been writing a lot of stuff. I just came back. I was just telling Andrew, I just got back from a cruise right in the middle of the. Hurricane Ida.
Right.
Yes.
That kept you downstairs, huh?
Yeah. Well, that was interesting. So a lot of that, I started like writing about that. So you'll have to like go back up to where, but you'll be able to see, pick up where I've been doing writing about Pittsburgh. Because I got you the photo there.
Great. Yeah,
took,
absolutely. And we loved meeting you, and we knew that you would be a lot of fun.
I'm always a lot of fun.
I could tell that, and we're pretty fun too. So you come on back.
Oh yeah, when I come, really, when I get back, I'm gonna ask Kristen to, regardless of what I'm doing, at least to, you know, just have a quick pancake, but make sure like we get the Peruvian.
Absolutely, we'll get you some Peruvian culture.
Yes, because I would actually like my brain went, okay, so what the heck is Peruvian food?
Right.
And then
the food of South America is what it is.
Uh-huh. And the stomach went, I don't want to run right now.
Not after the pancakes.
Yeah. So, well, again, I thank you for calling, and you're welcome to link this, by the way, to your website in case you want people to hear all this wonderful stuff that we drooled over.
Okay. I appreciate
yeah.
that.
And I'm going to, like, when I get finished with you, I'm going to take a quick break to put something in my mouth. Just cause
okay. I don't blame you.
Well, have a wonderful evening. And
thank
say
you
hello
and have
to,
a great holiday.
Say hello to the other half for me.
I will. I'll tell Pam you said hey.
Okay.
Say hi to your chicken.
I will.
Thank you, Merle.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, yeah. That's great. I mean, I got it. That was some wonderful pancakes. That's for sure. I love, you know, when I'm doing this, and what I love, what happens when I'm on the show, I keep, you know, I get emails all the time. I just kind of like click to see if there's anything that I have to get to. And it's okay, Barbara, but as you could tell, I got a hold of everybody. So I'm just waiting for, like, the next one. Oh, well, I don't even have to wait. Don't even have to wait because I think I have, am I correct? Do I happen to have Dearheart?
Yes, you do.
Now that I've finished, now that I've finished talking about cupcakes, and Pamela's pancakes, now let's now we're gonna cut the cheese.
Gonna go cut some cheese.
Yes. First, like, introduce yourself to my audience.
Hi, everybody. Dearheart Pascuzzi is what I'm from Pennsylvania Macaroni in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name's Carol Pascuzzi, but I call everybody Dearheart.
When did that start, by the way?
Oh,
I'm curious.
It's just something that my grandmother, my mother, always called everybody Dearheart, and I'm so used to being called Dearheart, it was just automatic. It's like, I can't remember everybody's name. There's a better chance of me remembering the cheese you like.
that's a good way to do it. That is, you just come up with one particular name for everybody.
Yeah, that way you know it's coming from my heart.
When did you get this whole thing? Like, when did you start working for?
Pennsylvania Macaroni
Company. Yeah.
Yeah, 1984.
Wow.
Well, yeah, there is mostly just started off part-time and then went to, 4 days. You know, you just crawl up there. Then I was off for a few years with my kids and everything, and then all of a sudden I just went back to it again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's it, I'm there. Just part of me, I guess.
Did they train you regarding the cheeses, or is that something like...
No, it was an ongoing affair. First started, it was maybe about 40 cheeses, and I think we're close to touching sometimes 500, depending on given part of the year. A lot of cheeses are seasonal, so it varies from time to time. But, I grew with the people, with everybody that comes in. It's more like generations of families where I've waited on the grandparents, the parents, now the grandchildren. It's just, Pittsburgh's a unique, which I really like. That's why it got me so interested in a lot of the cheeses. It's a unique melting pot of a lot of different nationalities of people that come and go through Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And cheese seems to be one of the cheeses that are comfort foods. It's the best way I can explain it, where they come in, it's familiar, it's like home,
yeah.
It's breaking bread like family, or I haven't seen that since I've been a child. It first started, like, a lot of people would come in and say, couldn't you get this cheese for me, or I've been looking for this. And I said, well, I don't know, you know. And as my bosses, I have Rick Sinceri and Dave Sinceri, and different times I said, well, can we get this cheese, or is this available, or... You know, and it was just as the cheese list grew, it just grows and grows. I like it that way. I'm never bored.
Yeah, I don't even remember. Like, I tasted two cheeses, and I thought they were fabulous, and I have no idea what they were.
You have Vlaskas, if I remember right, from Holland. If I remember, did I give you the Vlaskas?
I think it could have been.
A goat cheese, too, I gave you a taste of?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. There is a few I gave... I think maybe the Gracia, and I think, a Zamorano? Zamorano could have been one, or that Roncal, maybe the Roncal from Spain. That was nice. That was nice.
Both of them were so good, and, I mean, I wouldn't know where to get them now.
Well,
which leads
we're
out.
Online.
I was just going to ask you that.
www.penmac.com. We ship.
Oh, you do?
Now,
so in other words, I should talk to David about that, huh?
Yeah, we do ship.
I'll have to call him about that because I didn't really, like, I didn't get to, like, I was blogging around, you know, like, to get that in, and I haven't gotten to the point of writing the articles yet. You know, it's like I do this pattern, you know? I like to get the radio show done, and I like to get the blog in before I start the articles because they usually, like, the articles,
yeah,
like, backed up.
Yeah, there's a lot of wonderful cheeses,
you know?
Yeah.
And so I wanted to get more information, especially on this place, before I did that. So people can, like, go online and
put an order in. Of course, yes.
Now, so you were also talking about regarding cheese, and I really wasn't clear. There's a way that you could look at something and know what type of cheese, whether it's from a sheep, a cow, a goat?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a lot of different cheeses. Some are made of strictly cow's milk, some strictly sheep's milk, some goat. But there's a few from different countries that are blends. Like the Gruyère is a blend of sheep and goat. That's from Greece. That's a nice mellow cheese. From Spain, I have a Campo de Montalbán. That's a very nice from the Basque region. It's made of cow, sheep, and goat. There's a Robiola from Italy that is made, that we have there, nice fresh, about a half-pound size Robiola we get in. That's a nice, it has a rind on the outside, because they do have rindless and they have rind. But it looks
right.
like a little brie, a little square brie, but it's made of cow and sheep. I mean, it's that's what I mean. There's a lot of times when you look at the cheeses, they're either named after the towns, the cities, people's family names. It's heritage. That's what I was trying to get at. When Pittsburgh has a lot of heritage of different nationalities, the cheese is part of it. It's a melting pot of having all these wonderful, I call them goodies, my little treasures.
Right.
Of, like, one day you can come in and say, I'm going to do Spanish tonight or tomorrow to Italy, then I'm going to be Greece today, or I want to do a little of this. I mean, this way you get a little bit of everything. I mean, a lot of variety, a lot of taste. But I'd ask customers when they come in, if you're allergic to any of the cow's milk, but some can have goat cheese and some
right,
can have
sheep's
milk cheese.
Right, yeah, yeah. I have a friend that says that, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you can have the goat, well, I says, well, honey, we got brie in the goat, which is a floret from France, besides just the fresh chevron. I said, from Spain, we got, oh, my gosh, we got drunken goat, which is aged in wine. Then you have a naked goat, which is raw milk we just got in recently. What else? Pimento, which is a goat cheese, like semi-soft, rubbed in paprika. Gosh, there's so many. I have a really good gratable cheese because a lot of people say, well, what do I put on my spaghetti and that? And they can't even tolerate the sheep's milk, but they can have the goat because it's easier to digest. And I said, well, let me think. You can have this that's called bradoro. Not bradoro, I said. That means, wait a minute. I'm correcting myself here. A capradoro. Capradoro meaning aged hard, doro. Capra meaning the goat. And it's gradable. It's from Sardinia. It's got a nice firm texture, almost like a Romano or a Parmesan, but it's all goat cheese. And they can put that on their pasta. If they want to make a pizza, I got a nice goat gouda from Holland. And if you want a little bit more aged, like cheddar from Canada, I do have like the Black Diamond cheddars. I do have a goat cheddar called Chèvre Noir. That's an all-goat cheddar. I mean, it's just giving examples. I have that all in sheep's milk, too, and besides the cow's milk cheeses. I think it's cool. Got them from all over.
Oh,
so,
sure.
So that's, like I said, any recipe you want to substitute for a basic, like, oh, let's say calls for Monterey Jack. And I said, well, we'll just spiff it up a bit. Pick another country, and we'll get something in there that gives a little bit of different kind of zip to it, you know?
Right.
And I'd say, let me think. Let's do a goat cheese instead. Or would you like to try sheep's milk cheese? Let me see. Cacio di Roma from Rome. That's a nice young pecorino. It's not real age. And I said, that'll melt really nice. And I always tease everybody. I said, you know, when you look at Capra and you look at Jacquins or Chevrons and you look at pecorino, there's different names for saying goat, cow, or sheep. Like the sheep milk in any of the Italian, you'll see pecorino, meaning this cheese is going to be made out of the sheep's milk. And a lot of people always think pecorino is the Romano, and I said, no, it's just telling you it's sheep's milk. It could be very young, it could be medium age, or it can be your Romanos, like the Locatel or the Sicilian Papato, or that has peppercorn in it. Or you can do the nice fresh pecorinos that come in from Sicily right now. They're made in little basket weaves. They're about 4-pound wheels. And they're very young, about 5 months age. So you're talking a nice young sheep's milk cheese, fresher taste. So I think it's pretty cool that way.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I don't know if I answered your question. I can babble.
Is there a, like, in terms of, like, wine, and is it, like, somebody in wine is called Sommelier? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. Evian.
Is there a name for someone who knows about cheese?
A name for somebody that knows about cheese?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like me, a cheesemonger?
Yeah, no, I mean, like if somebody, like if you want wine and they say, well, send me over the Sommelier, you know, who knows about wine.
Somebody
comes in because we don't sell the wine in the store.
No. I'm saying, is there a terminology for somebody that knows about cheese?
I'll be honest with you. I don't know. I mean,
we'll have to
find that one out.
We'll have to find that out and give you that title.
Yeah, because I just did this out of love. People come in and tell me I have a nice bottle of wine. I said, describe the wine to me. What does it taste like? You know, and they'll say, well, it's strong or it's high in tannins and that. And I said, oh, you need something high in fat and a little salty. Let me think. And I'll go like that. And I'll say, which country? And usually I'll hand out, say if you can do a nice aged provolone or a nice Calabrese Pecorino, which is a good table cheese, not a grating cheese. Or you can go with a nice 5-year-old cheddar from Canada I have. Or how about the Beemsters? Those Beemsters, anything that has a little bit of saltiness to it and full flavored, you know, that goes really well with something like that. Or they'll say, I have a nice light Chardonnay. Which could you give me? I says, okay. And then we'll go, okay, well, how about a nice fresh goat, very fresh. I can give them a nice Chevron, or I can give them a little Bush Pateau. Or we can go with the sheep's milk, which from Northern California now they got the lamb chopper. That's a nice mild Pecorino, too. Let me see. Got to go really light, though. A Lazio Pecorino, that's really nice and light. Or I'll say, okay, wait a minute. How about a nice Port Salut from France or a nice Defemois, you know? And they'll be like, okay. I said, you pick. Okay, yeah, so that way they get a choice maybe about 3 cheeses instead of just coming and get 1 little cheese. And they'll say, well, let me try these. And I said, you get back with me, too, see which one you like the best, brought out the best notes in the wine that you liked. You know, because I said, each one you'll taste will bring out something different in your wine.
Yeah.
I go, oh.
Do you do, like, wine tastings purposely just because of the cheeses?
Not there. I wouldn't say perfectly. It's like anything else. It's a matter of taste. I said, it's a matter of taste. What do you like? You know what I'm saying? To me, it's not a science where you could tell somebody, this is what you should like because this is the best. Well, honey, we all got different tastes. I'm going to tell you what you're supposed to like. I mean, you tell me what you want. That's why I always ask and listen to say what they want. And this way I try to help them, you know, and that way if it comes out, say, whoa, I didn't really like that. And I said, well, what didn't you like about it? And I said, let's try this. I said, next time I'll make you bring the bottle of wine in and we'll try it together. But it's funny. I mean, we have a good time with that. People are really comfortable with us. We're like big family down there. I mean, everybody works together with this. And I think it's more of a fun, because I said, I don't want you going home disappointed because you're breaking bread at your table. It's a festive occasion. I mean, I feel like it's personal because it's you're taking this into your home. This is your evening. If you have a bad meal at night, it sets your evening off. And I said, no, I don't want that to happen, especially now around the holidays. My goodness. People are getting together and seeing family they haven't seen for a while. They're coming in getting their little treasures, or they're picking up their wine and say, well, I got the wines, what do I have? What can I do as an appetizer for before, right, especially now with Thanksgiving coming around, too. I mean, Christmas, I think they've gone appetizer plates and things like that. And I said, what can I take as an appetizer? And I teased them. I said, well, what are you having for dinner? And they always, you know, tell me what they're having. I said, well, how many cheeses would you like? I mean, is it something you want to take at the beginning as an appetizer? Going through the meal,
dessert.
And that all means something different too, you know. So it's like, and some people say, no, I just like dry cheese. I don't like that soft, gooey cheese, or I don't like that stinky cheese. And I always tease them, the ones with the nose,
Washed
dry cheese with the nose. I said, but they never taste the way they smell. I said, you gotta try the cheese, even if it has a little bit of a nose to it, to see if it changes to you from your nose. Because first you're supposed to put it. Come to your nose, first it's sight, then nose, then taste. And I said, then how it stays on the palate of your tongue there. I said, it leaves a nice finish on your tongue, some of these cheeses, don't they? And it's funny because some of the cheeses, they'll start one way, bite in the middle a little bit, then finish really mellow. And I said, the Europeans, I think we rush our food too much. I think we need to savor our tastes a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I said, sit your fork down and savor the taste a little. And they go, oh.
Yeah, like chocolate, you know.
Right, savor it, right. Cheese is the same way. Room temp, don't be shoving that out of the refrigerator and just saying, why doesn't it taste the same as it did in the store? Well, I'll tell you why, you ate it cold.
Right.
Oh, but I have such fun with the customers. I have such fun.
Obviously, it's not the whole place isn't about cheese. Otherwise,
it wouldn't be
called Macaroni Company.
No, that's funny. That's funny because a lot of people come in and think it's just macaroni too. But no, we have a wide deli section with all the different imported meats going on with prosciuttos, supersadas, all kinds of salamis, hams. We have, and we've got a lot of customers wanting the turkeys and the chicken, and we have fresh tortellinis, fresh pasta. Right now the big seller going on is our pumpkin tortellini, of course.
Mm-hmm.
That's going on. They have fresh pastas there, too. In our olive section, we have a wonderful big variety of different olives from all over. I mean, Cerignolas, Castelvetranos, Niçoises, Kalamatas, oh my goodness, nice Sicilian spice, not spiced, oil cured, Morocco. I mean, there's all kinds. I mean,
do you by any chance like get any do you get cheeses or the olives from California?
They probably get them from all over. I mean, we get cheeses from California, Northern California. We get the Sonoma Dry Jack. We get the Humboldts from Cypress Grove,
mm-hmm.
Midnight Moon, like I said, Lamb Chopper. Rogue's Creamery is in Colorado, Oregon. We get cheeses from, I mean, we get local cheeses, too, just from what we call Washington. And we have our Northeastern Amish cheeses we have come in from our Amish families, you know,
right.
Farms. But the olives we get from all over. He gets olive oils from all over. Really good balsamics, too, from all over. I mean, not just Italy. I mean, you got to take the Spanish olive oil out, the French olive oil out, California olive oil. Some really nice ones are coming in from California. I mean,
I'd been a number of trips in California, and I was, like, pleasantly surprised to find some really great olive oils.
Yeah, very good. Very good olive oils. I mean, that's why I said I tell people to get online, check out what we do have, what we carry. And there's always a toll-free number to call, too, to double-check to see what's available.
What's the toll-free number?
Oh, I don't have it on me.
Okay.
It's right on the website.
Okay.
An 800 number.
What is the website, by the way?
www.penmac.com.
PenMac. Okay.
PennMac.com.
Okay.
I mean, in the store, right now you see a lot of the panettones, all the imported, different coffees, different cakes, goodies, oh my goodness, oils, balsamics, even like, you know, the little cookie makers for the pastels and the different unique things, pizza stones. I mean, everything. I mean, all these little treasures and the little espresso makers, all these different things that people look for forever. They're all in a store. You would not believe. I mean, you've been there. You've seen how high up it goes and around.
Well, we didn't have much time. We just gathered over there at the cheese counter.
You didn't get
counter.
To see all the goodies.
No. Just get a little sample and then get the hell out of there for the next place.
That's a shame. That's a shame. You couldn't have taken time to scroll through.
Well, we were doing a whole thing on the strip area.
The whole strip. The whole strip.
So,
did you have a good time, though, huh? Did you have a good time? Yeah.
That was something else. I mean, well, they call it the FAM tours, familiarization tours.
Right,
But FAM really stands for Forever a Meal.
Forever a Meal.
Yeah.
Forever a Meal.
That's so great though that you can find a place like that. I know I have a store, well, not near me, but like the guy has over 100 cheeses, an Italian place that has over 100 cheeses,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that was a big deal. I went, whoa, okay.
It is cool. I like trying to get as many items in, but even like from Spain, they have those, I tell them, a dried fruit cakes. I mean, did you see all the dry products we have, like not just the nuts and the fruit and the all kinds of wonderful things.
The spices. I definitely get online and look.
That's what I mean. You walk by, it was like all these bins and stacked high. And as we always say, we always stack everything high, watch it fly, because it's like all the way up. I said, if you don't see it at eye level, if you don't see it down on the bottom, I said, look up, because it's there. Oh, my. So the fondue pots, the grill to even shave the, and all the different cheese knives and all the graters for grating, you know, different cheeses. The gosh, all the different bottles, all the different decanters for your, to hold your olive oil or your, you know, vinegar. I mean, it's just so many things. Oh, my.
I learned to make mozzarella.
Did you? Did you have fun making that?
Yeah, and it's funny because I was going to this guy has been in the business for so many years. They make like mozzarella like 2-3 times a day, fresh
right.
mozzarella, and it's actually a pasta store.
Oh, is it? Well, that's okay. We have all kinds of pastas here too.
And so I decided. I said, you know, I wanted to know about it, and so what he would do, he would sell me the milk curd.
The curd, right?
So I can, you know, do it at home, and this way I can have it fresh. You know, whenever I wanted to, and, you know. And I'm doing this all, and then I was asking him in terms of the milk curd, because, like, you can go to some places, and if you want to get milk curd, it's usually, I think, Polio makes a whole
Polio
brick,
makes it, yeah.
You
yes,
know.
They do. Yeah,
and
Polio.
I said to him, is that where you get it from? He said, no. He says he gets it from a farm in upstate New York, all his stuff. And
oh,
so
that's
this,
great.
Time is going on and time is going on, and then I'm back there, and then I didn't realize what he meant. He's getting the milk from upstate New York,
and he's making the curd.
He's making the whole curd, and so you can go there, not only getting the mozzarella, he's making the fresh ricotta cheese, too.
There you go, yeah.
So it's like, oh, okay, because he was saying, because when people are saying that they, you know, restaurants or whatever, they had fresh mozzarella. It's not.
It's not as fresh.
Reconstituted.
Making it yourself, right.
Yeah, it's reconstituted. It's not really
right.
fresh.
That's,
you know,
right.
So that I was like, you know, kind of surprised. I said, oh, now I understand.
Now, but you taste the difference, too. See, that's
oh,
what
my
people,
God.
Yeah, big
it's,
difference.
It's,
big difference.
It's amazing when I get the mozzarella from there. It's like.
Right,
you know,
right.
And it
you
was.
You can tell. Now, see, you're getting to be a cheese knob, not a.
yeah. Well, I'm not too big. One of the things that I did wound up combining because I was, I don't remember. You know, I guess it was from California. Could have been the brand. No, it was upstate New York. I got this wine, an apple wine. And
what
I
kind
was
of wine? Like
combining the apple wine. With a Tilson, Stilton? Is it Stilton cheese?
Stilton
with apricots.
Yeah, I have Stilton with apricots, yeah.
And
we
I was
it.
Doing that, having it with the apple wine.
Oh, how was that?
Oh,
awesome.
Really tasty, I gotta tell you.
That hit the spot, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's a great dessert to have.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
not oversweet either. Just enough.
Yeah, I wanted to. There's a place not far from me that I saw the, not only the place that they have apricots. I guess you can get that with, like, blueberries and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, cherry, lemon. There's, what else do we have? Cranberry right now being real popular, of course. Apple and pear, actually, they do have also.
Do they?
Yes,
wow.
They do. Apple and pear. I like that with a good pale ale beer, though.
I gotta see if I can make a deal with David there. So.
Yeah, there's a lot. That's what I'm saying. There's so many good ones. I mean, when you get a hold of, well, when you do talk to David, there's so many. I tell him, like, because when you get online, you got all the different cuts of pasta, you got all the different crackers, you got all the different jellies,
sure.
preserves, syrups. I mean, all these wonderful little treasures, even like the flavorings like people can't find, like the anise oil, the almond oils, the cocoa for making the tiramisu, the salviati, the lady fingers, mascarpone. I mean, think about, you know, there's so many wonderful things like the creme fraiche. I mean, things people, even clotted cream from England. I have that wonderful cheese that's mimicked after the sticky toffee pudding in from England.
Right.
And it's called sticky toffee. I mean, there's and all these different wonderful cheeses. Instead of the blue veining on the Stilton, which we still do have, it's just the white Stilton with the fruit in place of.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question in terms of, other than consistency and taste, is there any big difference nutritionally or whatever in having cheese Or just a glass of milk?
No, cheese is more, how can I explain it?
I mean,
the
other
way
than,
it's prepared.
Yeah, other than, I'm saying, other than you know, the texture, et cetera,
no,
in terms of nutrition.
No, nutrition, I think I'd go more with the cheese before a glass of milk.
Really? And
yes.
Why
only
you
because
think
I feel the more nutritional value in the more, more the cheese is aged, the more the protein value, more the nutritional value also.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Especially an example like the Reggiano Parmigiano. Just to give an example just from the protein, because I can't remember all the nutritional levels in the top of my head on all the cheeses. But Reggiano, just an example.
Right.
You're thinking that's a nice, aged, salty, grating cheese, right?
Mm-hmm.
But out of all the cheeses, this is the one that impressed me the most. Because the way it's made and how it's cured and just the way the cheese is, it equals 3 ounces of protein in trout, 1 ounce. 1 ounce equals 5 ounces of protein in beef. Would you rather have that 1 ounce of cheese?
Right.
Or eat all that bad fat in the beef?
Yeah,
I'm thinking,
right.
I'm going to have the cheese, honey.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's
and it's easier to digest. See,
mm-hmm.
That's a lot of, that's like I tell people, even the goat cheese, the more aged, it's better for you. Because you can have a little bit of that. It's and your stomach is, especially the goat cheese, because the fat molecules in the goat cheese are smaller than the cow and the sheep. And that's, I mean, if it goes into a lot of things. I mean, it's, but when people are not feeling well, just a little bit of, even my, like, my, I have elderly and young people too. The Parmesan, I always say, even if you put a little bit over your soup, put a little bit over your pasta,
right.
At least I know you're getting that much nutritional value plus the protein value.
Right.
For people. So that's just an example. But the more aged, I feel the better off for you because it doesn't take as much to eat it, especially not when you're 100%. Pasteurized, probably better. The Reggiano is cooked anyways over in the copper kettle. So I'm saying there's certain ways different cheeses are kept stored, and especially like even when you come in our store, it's not something that's been pre-packed laying there waiting for you. You know if you come in the store, like you order online, that piece of cheese is cut to you before it's shipped to you or cut for you standing in front of you.
Right.
It's not something that you have to just go grab off the vac pack shelf. Because anytime these cheeses are done ahead of time or even like any of the food, your lunch meat, I mean, you want it done fresh when you come in.
Oh, sure.
I said, so this way, if you don't have that heated plastic or the taste of the plastic getting into your food. It's to the point where I'm so spoiled, I can taste it. Yeah, you know, and it's terrible because I said, man, this tastes like plastic. I can't eat this. And it's just like I don't mean to be that way, especially when you get into the cheeses that are smoother, more absorbed better. Like an example would be the Jarlsberg, okay, in the chain store.
Right.
And I ran back, like anybody else. I run out of things too at home, even though I work at a cheese store. Went and got a little piece of that. I couldn't stand it. I couldn't use it. I could taste all plastic. So it says, I'll never do that. Fresh cut. That's it. Fresh cut. Fresh grated.
Well, dear heart,
dear heart.
The show is actually going to cut off because it's going to end quite soon. So
okay.
I want to thank you for calling in, and I'm going to probably get back to you at some point when I'm doing the article to get when I need some info.
Okay, dear heart. Well, I appreciate your time. And do let everybody know, we're online, www.penmac.com.
Okay, you got it.
Thanks, dear heart.
Okay. Have a great
See
evening.
See you next time you come back to Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Bye-bye, dear heart.
Bye. All right, so next show, hopefully, will be chatting about my trip on the Barbara, I know. I mean, this whole thing was a bad move. Oh, wait. Is Esther. Oh, Esther? Yes. She wants to say something. Quack. Oh, Estes, I think, caught a cold also. She was on the cruise. Is that what happened? And she found her long lost daughter. Yes, Ida. Okay, you can end the show. Bark, 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 bark.